Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today we're discussing something that is not only important but also timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is putting people first to drive property management performance. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, and they're also wonderful supplier partners to the multifamily industry, Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny, and Joe Bailey, the CEO and founder of Swift Bunny. Welcome.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Great to be here.
Yeah, it's always great to have you guys on. You are always on top of what's going on in the industry through all the surveys you do and so forth. So let's kind of set the stage a little bit. What have you seen employee turnover has been this year? I mean, it's coming out of the pandemic, it's been a little crazy, but let's talk about that.
Sure, we'll start.
Yeah, go.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So, you know, employee turnover is, I think it's always been challenging for multifamily, and it's no surprise to any of the listeners, I think, that this year has been especially rough. The data that we have seen, Paul, it's not pretty. Year-to-date figures that we've gathered for on-site positions, we are seeing in greatest risk area is on-site maintenance at about 55% annual turnover.
Wow.
Yeah, more than half of maintenance turning over. Leasing's right behind that at 52%, and on-site management at 37%.
Mm.
So these are the figures that we have from data that management companies have self-reported. It may not match up perfectly to, you know, others who are collecting similar data, but it's what our clients are experiencing. And when I talk to folks anecdotally, they definitely agree that it feels that those numbers are real.
What kind of numbers did we have prior to this year? Do you have any idea?
You know, so historically, if you look at the NAA data, they report that for the past, I believe it's about 11 years now, annual turnover in the area of about 37% industry-wide. And so these numbers, yeah, these are higher than that. And some of that I think you could probably point to the Great Resignation and all that we've gone through as an industry here in 2022. But some of the too, I've just got to say, I wonder sometimes whether people are truthful when they're reporting their employee turnover. I just think back to my days many, many moons ago on site. You know, sometimes when we used to get those phone calls from the competitors trying to do their market survey, and some owners that I worked for were not real keen on being truthful there. So I think that sometimes some folks may have a tendency to underreport their employee turnover for fear that it makes them look bad.
And that, I mean, that's scary. Thank you. Because the numbers that are being reported are so high.
Yep.
So Joe, let me ask you, Joe, what do you see as far as turnover for the future in 2023 and beyond?
Well, a couple of things. So let me back up 1 second before I answer that directly. I gave a speech, did a couple of speeches at GAA and also at TAA in the past few months. And I took a long look at some of the Department of Labor statistics that were coming out. And you know something, they reported at the end of July, 11.5 million vacant job openings in the United States.
Mm.
Now this isn't just multifamily, obviously this is all businesses, all industries. But they overall, at the same time, they were reporting only about 5.9 million people actively seeking employment. Now, think about that a minute. That means that for every two jobs out there that's open right now, you've got one person that might be looking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the worst numbers. These are the worst set of numbers that the Spartans ever had in their history. Never had more than 11 and a half million vacant positions. Mm. So that's a really bad market out there right now. This coming Friday, we're moderating a session up in Atlanta for Jane Fullwood, the Atlanta Apartment Association. And one of the things we're talking about is you know, the old formula, which says that basically for every 100 units, you have one in the office and one out there in maintenance, standard staffing models. People are taking second looks at that because employee turnover has been so high and they're having such a hard time actually trying to fill the positions that they do have vacant. They're looking at other formulas or other ways to try to fill those positions. And it may not be the traditional way that the industry has always looked at things. A lady who used to work with us at Grace Hill back in the day, she's up in Ohio. I won't put her name out. But she's gone to 100% virtual leasing. Mm. 100%. No longer leasing office on site. Everything's done online. Everything's done, you know, over the web, and it's just nice, neat, and clean. And she'd be the first one to tell you that when she first started doing that, there were a lot of problems. There were a lot of issues that they ran into. But over time, they've smoothed it out, and it's really working pretty well for them now. These are the kind of models that people are starting to think about as opposed to the way they've always done it. And it's all because of the turnover that's driving most of this.
Have you heard anything at all? You know, as Kerry, you just said, the big number out there, a big turnover number, is in maintenance, and you can't do maintenance virtually, I don't think.
Nope.
So is there ideas that you're hearing from some of your clients as far as what things they're looking at to try and fill in those spots or fill the gap temporarily?
Yeah, Paul, and these aren't actually new ideas. These are ideas that have been tried before all the time. Way back in the day, there was one of the major REITs had a ton of properties down in Florida in the Orlando area. And so from a maintenance standpoint, they decided instead of staffing each property, they would set up a centralized office for maintenance. So if you were a resident, you call them and you put in your maintenance work order, it went to this office, and then that office dispatched somebody to go out to whatever property you were located at to fix your problem. So centralized maintenance, that's an idea that's been around a long time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's ever really been done successfully really well, but I think that there's some opportunities out there now to try it again and maybe find a way to make it work.
Is there anybody that you've heard of that is in the industry as a supplier partner who's really going after that market to try and help with maintenance issues on properties? I know make readies and things like that, they're already there, but as far as just standard maintenance, instead of having to call a plumber, you know, to do plumbing and air conditioners or somebody who's jack of all trades type of thing.
Kara, I don't know the name of the company. Didn't we talk to somebody who was doing that? Mm-hmm. Currently.
Yeah, the company is called Lessen, L-E-S-S-E-N, and I don't know a whole lot about them, but I do know Joe and I have both been connected with Adrian Danila over there, and I believe that's exactly what they're going after, Paul, is trying to centralize, become kind of that jack of all trades for certain markets.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly would be an option at some point in time, and Joe, to your point, as far as the centralized, you really would have to have a pretty good saturation of the market to be able to do that. There's obviously some issues there. What about other positions, managers, regional managers, and so forth for 2023? Is there just a natural progression that people are still following, or are they looking for other creative ways to fill positions?
I think they're looking for creative ways to fill positions. Everybody we talk to, Paul, they're all having the same problems. I mean, trying to find people to fill these slots. Now, obviously, maintenance is a different beast. That's a skilled position in terms of your physical skills and knowledge. But in the office, it's the same old story. It's just less people that are looking to fill those positions, and it's just harder and harder to get them to come in. It's amazing how many people will tell you stories of setting up an interview and getting ghosted on the interview by whoever the candidate was. We've had people actually offer positions, I've heard about people offering positions to candidates who then accepted the position and were supposed to start on a particular day and they never showed up.
Wow.
So, I mean, these are horror stories.
Yeah.
But they're out there, they're real, and they're way more common than you would think. So it's really creating a lot of problems for folks out there, for operators.
Yeah, and that, by the way, that's not an uncommon thing, as we've talked about earlier in this segment. It's not just multifamily. I have friends in other businesses and industries, and they're telling me the same things. They set up interviews with people, and they don't show up. They don't call. And if they get them through certain websites, in other words, if they are able to find these people through certain websites, you have the ability, I think, through those websites to be able to kind of leave a review saying this person never showed up, which, mm-hmm. you know, you would think would cut down on some of that, at least in, you know, in those areas. But well, we're going to break it here for this segment. We're going to come back right after these messages with more of this episode. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. We're discussing putting people first to drive property management performance. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans and fantastic supplier partners to the multifamily industry, Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny, and Joe Bailey, the CEO and founder of Swift Bunny. I do want to remind our listeners before we get back into the discussion that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or simply listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So we talked in the first segment about the recruitment and some of the issues there. We talked a lot about maintenance, and I know during the break, Joe, you mentioned that you had some more insight into the maintenance. And then I want to get into something that I think is very important, and that's retention of existing employees. Mm-hmm. So, Joe, tell us a little bit about what your other concerns are.
Yeah, Paul, when I was a kid, my dad taught me electrical work. I could do plumbing. I could do carpentry. My grandfather was a master carpenter, so I learned a lot of hands, basic maintenance skills as a kid. And I don't think the younger generation these days is actually getting that kind of training that we used to back in the day. We were at NAA about 2 years ago, and Mark Cooker was on a panel and made a comment. And for those of you that don't know Mark, he's one of really the best maintenance speakers in the industry. The guy's been around, he's worked on site, he's got the experience in the background, but the guy is really smart and stays on top of what's going on, especially in the maintenance arena. And he made a comment during that session that just floored me. I mean, I've never heard anybody say anything quite this dramatic, but Mark believed it. I tend to believe it too. he made a statement that in roughly 5 to 10 years that the size of the personnel pool out there for maintenance was going to be reduced by almost 70%.
Oh, wow.
And when he said that, it just blew me away. I mean, just imagine the difficulty that you have right now trying to find a replacement for a maintenance technician or a maintenance supervisor, amplified by 5, 6, 7 times. I mean, that just blows me away. So he said that, and I talked to him a little bit afterwards, and he just said that people aren't as interested in this type of work anymore. And so the people available to fill these positions is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller in terms of their numbers. So that's a scary proposition when you stop and think about it.
Yeah, and I can remember going to Apartmentalize prior to the pandemic. It may have been 2019 or 2018. I don't recall which year. But one of the keynote speakers was Mike Rowe, the host of Dirty Jobs.
Yeah.
And his whole topic was, you know, that trying to find, you know, that people aren't going into the trades anymore. And it's going to really affect the ability to find maintenance personnel, as well as, mm-hmm. you know, what can we do, or, you know, what his ideas were that could be done to encourage people to go into trades, because it can be a very rewarding and good paying career for people. So that was kind of an eye opener too. I know, Carrie, you commented during the break that you felt like retention was the key to a lot of this. Talk a little bit about what you're hearing and what you're seeing when it comes to retention of existing employees.
Sure. I really think that's the only reasonable place to put our focus, because these labor challenges are going to continue. You know, as Joe shared earlier, there just are not enough bodies out there to fill all of the positions. And that's not going away. So this is something we are still going to struggle with in 2023. So I really think the only place that makes sense for us to invest our energies is how we hang on to the folks that we have. Maintenance, of course, is top of mind because it's so very, very challenging. And a lot of those folks are, you know, they're being tempted by other offers, not just with competitors, but to the trades, because they can, you know, focus on just one specialty area instead of having to be a jack of all trades, for example. But one of the other things we hear a lot about, Paul, one of the complaints that makes maintenance folks think about exiting the industry is on-call work.
Yeah.
They just hate it. They hate having to be available after hours. It impedes their personal life. It doesn't work well for owners either, because it's expensive. You wind up having to pay folks time and a half, you know, to come back. So it's a real challenge. And Joe and I heard an interesting solution when we were at that Georgia Apartment Association conference. So we heard that Perennial Properties in Atlanta is doing something creative to get around that challenge. And so they have experimented with altering the work hours for their service team, and having some team members work from noon until 8 or 9 p.m. And that's their regular work day. And the advantage to that is that they're able to handle work orders, for example, after business hours, after normal business hours, when residents prefer them to be there taking care of those service requests. And it doesn't require them to be on call in order to do it. So it's really interesting. It seems to be working well from them, from what we heard, that the residents like it, the team members like it, and then, of course, the owners don't have to pay that time and a half. So it really is an everyone wins kind of solution. And I think that's the kind of creativity we need in order to figure out how to make the workplace work better for folks and get around some of these challenges.
Yeah, and the on-call situation is something that I've had many of our guests on the show talk about over the years. That is a challenge to be able to have coverage, but that they realize that they are losing maintenance personnel because they are forced to be on call, and other industries
mm-hmm.
don't. You know, they can take their skills and go to other industries where on-call is not even something that they have to be concerned about. What about some of the other positions on site, as far as leasing and mm-hmm. and management. What are you hearing about that?
Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to make one comment here. Is one common thing that companies need to do, I think, and to look at in terms of creating a work environment that's going to retain those employees or increase the chances of retaining the employees. We talk about pay a lot. It's kind of like the fish flopping around on the table in front of us. And but, you know, people look at a lot of their benefits packages and their basic pay, bonuses, when the bonuses are paid out, ESOP plans. I mean, just list goes on and on and on. But these days, I think it's critical that when you look at your plan and you evaluate whether it's good enough and whether your people are happy with it, you have to also look at other industries around you. Because as Kara just mentioned, you may lose somebody, and you're not going to lose them maybe necessarily to another multifamily company. It might be to Applebee's restaurant down the street, Walmart, you know, Firestone Tire Store. I mean, it's all kind of places for folks to go, and people are getting aggressive about pay and benefits and all the other packages that they offer as a benefits package overall. So I think that understanding where you fit in the market, not just the multifamily market, but the entire market that your properties exist in, I think that's really mm-hmm. important. It's smart to do that. Maybe not once a year, but maybe once every 6 months.
Yeah, I think that's very wise. I can tell you that, and we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but I moderated a panel at Apartmentalize earlier this year, I guess, and it was on the Great Resignation, and two of the panelists were with two different management companies, and they both had sub 10% turnover rates, was because one of them had shifted to working completely remote. Property managers, obviously maintenance, they had to have some maintenance people on site, but all their positions, you could be a property manager that was based in Ohio and manage a property in Utah. I mean, it was interesting how they did it. Mm-hmm. The other company made a huge investment in all kinds of amenities for their teams, as far as the benefits and so forth. I mean, they really put a lot of stock in that. And they both had sub 10%. We got about a minute left. Have you heard anything from other companies that are trying to do things like that, Kara?
Yeah, I'll chime in with that on the topic of benefits. So I think it's important that employers put on their marketing hat and really showcase what they have to offer. And one of our clients is doing exactly that. That's Mary Gwynn with Apartment Dynamics.
Oh, yeah.
I know she's been a guest on your show before.
Yeah.
So coincidentally, she this week and her team of leaders, they are on what they call a benefits tour. And they are visiting their various markets and meeting with their on-site employees to make sure that everybody's aware of all of the benefits that they offer, that they're taking full advantage, that they know how to use everything. And I think that that's really, really smart because, you know, if you don't really know how to use your health plan, for example, then you're not seeing all the value in it. So I think that's a really smart retention strategy.
Yeah, no, that is. And I've seen her posts about that, and Mary and her husband Tom have both been guests on the show, but they are very innovative in the things that they do, and operators could learn a lot from you know, just following them and seeing what they do. We're going to break it here and be back with our next segment right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing something that is important to the multifamily industry. Our topic is putting people first to drive property management performance. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans and outstanding supplier partners to the multifamily industry, Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny, and Joe Bailey, the CEO and founder of Swift Bunny. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay, call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, you know, we talked about retention in our last segment, but I know you guys are in the feedback business. That's what Swift Bunny does. Talk a little bit about some of what you are hearing about this topic. Kara?
Sure. Yeah, so we are in the feedback business, and that's exactly what we do, Paul. We work with management companies to gather employee feedback. And, you know, there's really two purposes for that. We want to figure out what is working well for their team members so companies can really capitalize on that and do more of it. And then you also, of course, want to figure out what's not working so well for team members, what's frustrating them so that you can make some changes and fix it. So one of the things that's really interesting, and this has been true for a couple of years now, one of the key satisfiers that we see from on-site team members, they are really inspired by the executive leaders in their organization. And they tell us this year after year, survey after survey, every position category. They really care deeply about the people who are at the top of the org chart, and they want to work for companies with leaders they respect, who they find inspiring. And so the lesson here is to try to make those leaders as visible as possible and try to connect them to your on-site team members, because it's a real motivator for the on-site team members. And this is what I think is one of the blessings of the Zoom age. I mean, we all love to hate on Zoom, but how easy is it now to connect leaders to your teams through a web conference? Because, you know, multifamily portfolios typically are geographically dispersed. So you can't get the president there on site once a week or once a month, but you certainly could have an all-hands Zoom meeting and get some face-to-face time with your teams. So we're seeing companies have great success with that. And another technique that a couple of our clients are using are stay interviews, where they are connecting leaders and managers with employees, not to find out why they've given their notice in an exit interview, for example, but in a stay interview, and have a conversation about, you know, how are you enjoying your time here? What could we do differently? What could be better about your work experience? I know Viking Residential out of New Jersey. We work with Caroline Adelon over there. They don't call them stay interviews. They call them candid conversations, which I really like. They've been doing that for some time now and having some great success. And the Radco organization in Atlanta is also using stay interviews with some great success. And I just think that's a very, very smart strategy, because people really want to be heard, and they love to have the attention of leaders in the organization.
Yeah, and Radco is also another innovator in the industry. As a matter of fact, Mike Brewer, their COO, will be on our show next week. And he's, yeah, he's really one of the, I think, one of the great thought leaders of the multifamily industry. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you're finding from your surveys about working well, with the teams feeling satisfied by interaction with their residents and coworkers. What do you hear about that?
Yeah, that's another top driver. And Joe, jump in if I'm, you know, monopolizing my conversation here. But it's one of the top satisfiers for on-site team members. They really enjoy their relationships with each other, and they enjoy their relationships with residents. Now, this one is both a satisfier and a source of frustration, because relationships with residents are also really challenging. And I'm hearing that right now customers are a little bit uglier than ever before. You know, I think as a whole, as a society, there's a great deal of stress out there, and it's causing people to behave in an ugly fashion. You know, residents are angry, they're stressed out, and oftentimes they're taking it out on the on-site teams. And so that's a real challenge. I think it's a training opportunity for all of our on-site team members, so that they don't feel completely beat up, and they can serve customers who maybe aren't at their best.
Yeah,
it's so funny, Paul, because what Kara just said is, you know, most of the folks that you hire, especially in the leasing office, they tend to be extroverts. They're people who enjoy having a conversation with a resident or the coworkers. I mean, that, just that interaction really feeds their ego, really makes them feel good. But at the same time, when you're almost getting a little gun-shy about talking to residents, because some of them really are very mad or angry or just stressed about something, and especially in these days and times, I mean, that really creates a conundrum for those workers. And it creates, you know, we talk here about this is something that we think is a good thing, is that they're in that kind of environment where they can exercise that being an extrovert. But by the same token, the stress levels that some of this creates is a real problem for us as well. The stress levels on site are just through the roof. And that was something we had talked about before. We'd had some discussions about, you know, what can a company do to try to reduce the stress levels? And you know, this sounds so simple and so stupid, but it's the truth. Is just admitting that, putting them in an environment where they can admit that they're having stress and that they can talk about that is a big deal. We just did several surveys, mental health surveys with NAA, and the results were pretty spooky. And I'll tell you, some of the comments in those surveys were really pulled at your heartstrings. And some people out there on site just really having a tough time of it.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I mean, you guys have been doing this for a long time. I don't think multifamily has ever been a stress-free type of position. But with as you said, Kara, with the, you know, situation coming out of the pandemic and everything else going on in the world, it just adds to that stress. So, you know, that is an important thing that needs to be dealt with your teams, to recognize that and try and find solutions. What about career growth? What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, so this is another area where there's good news and there's bad news. I think one of the best features of multifamily is that there is tremendous opportunity here for career growth. I think each one of us could name an armful of friends who started at an entry-level position such as leasing and went all the way up the ladder to be leading organizations. And so tremendous opportunity in multifamily, and that's really fantastic. Smart companies do a really good job of telling those promotion stories, because the danger here is that folks think that they have to move on in order to move up. So that is the lesson that I kind of want to share here, Paul, is to make sure that within your organization, you're creating a pathway for team members to be promoted, to accomplish the next step in their career. And it starts with finding out what they want that next step to be, what their aspirations are. So having those regular conversations is really important, but also showcasing what it takes to get there. We see a lot in our employee surveys that employees are really unclear about what the requirements are. How do you get promoted around here? You know, I see openings in my organization, but next thing you know, they're filled, and I didn't even know that I had the chance to apply for that. So I think we can do a better job in sharing that information with associates. I want to shout out a couple of folks that I think are doing a great job of this. We work with the Bainbridge companies here in South Florida. And I've seen on Facebook, actually, they had this tremendous post a couple of weeks ago where they were showcasing a group of employees who had successfully completed what they call pathways to promotion. So all of these people were being celebrated, getting a certificate, recognized on their social channels. Now, to be clear, these people didn't get a promotion. They graduated the pathways to promotion, which simply means that they are ready for promotion. But I think that's phenomenal, because they're investing in these folks. They're getting them ready. They're giving them hope for what they have to do next in order to move up. And I just think it's really, really smart.
That is.
Paul.
Go ahead, Joe.
Paul, look, let me just tell one other thing on that, too, when we'll log that fire. Kara's dead on with that. You know, and so many companies have got a policy about promoting from within. A lot of companies do that, but you know, a lot of companies don't really talk about that. They don't market that fact. They don't advertise that. You know, if you're sitting there and you're interviewing somebody and they talk about opportunities within the company, that needs to be something that's said to them point blank right up front. We have a policy of promoting from within. That's the first place we look when we got to fill a position. And we advertise those jobs, and here's how we do it, and make a big deal out of it. It's, a lot of times, like I said, it's the company policy, but it's not really talked about. It's just kind of hidden in the background. And it's a great marketing tool when you're trying to find that next candidate.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We're going to have to break it here, and we're going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after this short message. These short messages, you are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Smart is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is important to the multifamily industry. Our topic is putting people first to drive property management performance. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans and great supplier partners to the multifamily industry, Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny, and Joe Bailey, the CEO and founder of Swift Bunny. You know, we talked in the last segment about some of the things that employers are doing and can do to deal with this high turnover. Let's talk a little bit about the workloads. Common sense would tell you that if you have a high turnover rate, you've got fewer people doing the work, so you're depending on people to actually take on more, it would seem like. Is that what you're finding?
No question. That's happening out there all the time. It's you lose that first employee, that leasing consultant or a maintenance person, what have you, and you're trying to fill that position, giving it your best effort, but you're having a tough time with it. It's taking a lot longer to fill those positions. So that's putting an additional workload on the folks that are already there. And, you know, you can only go so long with a vacant position like that before it begins to significantly impact the attitudes and performance of the rest of the staff. At some point, they're going to start crying uncle, and you'll start losing some of them too. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It just takes you right down the drain.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And if I may chime in, Paul, in our survey data, we have identified one position category that really is at risk here. And it's one that usually flies under the radar. It's the regional manager. Mm. So we survey employees and are asked, we ask those employees how much they agree with this statement. My work can typically be completed in the time allowed. So for our regional managers, we have almost 30% saying, no way, I can't get my work done in the time allowed. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of not surprising when you consider all that we've been through in the last couple of years. And, of course, the staffing shortages, yes, that impacts the coworkers at the site level. But frequently it falls to the regional to try to fill those vacant positions. And he or she may take on some of that extra workload, you know, when the properties are running short-staffed. So I think they're at very high risk for burnout, and I don't have a solution to offer there other than we need to fill those vacant positions and take care of those regionals, because we sure will be in a lot of trouble if we lose them.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I will get an email from a regional manager or even a VP that'll come in the middle of the night or come in over a weekend, which to me tells me that they're, you know, just to keep up with what they're trying to answer emails, they're having to do that in hours that are outside the typical normal working hours.
For sure.
You know, Joe, during the break, you had mentioned that one of the concerns was that pay raises aren't keeping up with inflation. And we've got about 5 to 5.5 minutes left before I want to transition. So what are you hearing about that?
Well, I mean, just the fact of the matter is the pay raises that we are seeing out there in the field. We've had employees say this to us in both sessions that live sessions I've done, as well as through some of the surveys and things. We're hearing that, you know, pay raises or typical pay raises are being given to these employees. But meanwhile, we've got inflation running at, a 40-year high?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just off the charts. And I mean, right now, it seems like it's leveled off a little bit over the past couple of months, but the pay is just not there. So at the end of the day, at the end of the month, you know, these people, the employees are having less left in their bank accounts than they did before. So unless companies pay attention to that and keep that in mind when they're out there deciding on pay increases for, you know, for their employees, it's going to really create a problem. It's going to add to the turnover.
Yeah,
which is the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, it's a real source of flight risk for our teams. I mean, Joe's absolutely right. The inflation is at, 7 or 8%? A typical cost of living increase is 3%. I've seen data that says across all industries we've beat that, and we've been at about a 5% average increase. But still, if inflation's at 7 or 8%, then an employee loses at the end of the day.
Sure.
Now, another concern, I've seen data that says, and again, this is for all industries, not multifamily, but if a person makes a job change to a new employer, on average, they see a wage increase of 14%.
Mm.
So essentially, if they stay put, they're paying a loyalty tax. They are rewarded financially by making that change. And that's a problem for retention. There's just no two ways around it.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes left before I want to transition. I wanted to ask you about onboarding, specifically chaotic onboarding. You know, when you when you look at the posts that you see online, someone took a job, you always see a picture of a desk and they've got a backpack and all kinds of different things that they give. But that doesn't have anything to do necessarily with how they're being trained or what they're, you know, how they're being put into the system. Talk a little bit about what you've seen there.
Well, onboarding is something that our industry does a really bad job of. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And it's not about the swag up front. Like you said, it's not about getting a mug or a T-shirt or a bag or something like that. Proper onboarding does a lot of different things. It takes care of the paperwork side of things, but it also takes care of trying to bring that person into the fold, if you will, and try to, for them to understand the tenor, if you will, of the company. And bring them into the culture of the company. So there's all these things that need to be done. And as an industry, we let the ball drop on so many of those things all the time. And if you don't do a good job of onboarding an employee in those first 90 days, you're probably going to lose them. The bottom line is the first 90 days are the most critical in terms of setting the tone and really bringing that person in and making them feel like part of the team. If you don't do a good job of that, they're going to look somewhere else. And that's just the way it is. So, trying to come up with ways to create a pathway to bring that person on board, tracking that path, looking at compliance, making sure that things are being done properly. Companies it just doesn't happen.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Karen, any mm-hmm. input on, we've got about a minute and a half left. Any input on, we talked a little bit about the company that did the, they graduated for promotion. Mm-hmm. Any more information on what other companies are doing or other ideas that they can do to prepare people for promotions?
Yeah, absolutely. So my colleague, Dan Picotti, and I just did a whole dive into survey responses from new hires. Trying to figure out what's working, what isn't working about onboarding. And one of the things that was really interesting to me, Paul, is we have discovered a real opportunity here, which is I feel like when folks are new to an organization, we are not setting them up with accurate information about what their responsibilities are. Mm. The survey data tells us when people are, say, 5 days into their job, they answer pretty positively about feeling that they know what they need to do in order to be successful and grow. And then when we ask them again in 90 days, they have less confidence. So it's almost as if they're discovering after 90 days in that what they signed up for is not what they thought they signed up for. So I think that's really important. And I think that we need to take a look at how we're describing these positions, you know, what we're telling people. For example, leasing, is it really a sales job or is it more of a customer service job? Mm-hmm. I think we've got to shoot for more accuracy there in order that folks feel like they got what they bargained for when they jumped in.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I hate to do it. I want to transition us to something else because we could talk about this topic and probably will have you guys back on to talk about it some more. Mm-hmm. But I just have to say it very rarely do I have a guest on the show who doesn't at some point in time mention Swift Bunny and the fact that they work with Swift Bunny or there's a survey that they saw from Swift Bunny. And for maybe the two or three people in the multifamily industry who are unaware of Swift Bunny, tell our audience a little bit about what you guys do, and also how they can reach you and get in touch with you if they have questions or needs.
Terry, you want to take that?
Sure. So thank you for that gracious setup there, Paul. So we care very deeply about people, as you've probably gathered from this conversation. And we are in the business of employee surveys primarily. Our flagship product is called Engage by Swift Bunny. And we work with multifamily management companies to survey their employees year-round. So we're collecting data and feedback from employees, and these are candid, confidential surveys, And we're getting that at key points throughout the employee life cycle. So all the year through, we're figuring out how employees are feeling about their work situation so that employers can make positive changes, all in the name of employee retention. We want to make sure that you're hanging on to those great people that you have. Now, we also have rolled out this year a complimentary survey product called Inquire that allows for companies to customize surveys for their employees. And then we also have a third product in our survey suite called InTouch. So we are helping management companies stay in touch with their resident customers as well. So we can put all of those pieces together because we really do believe, and the data supports, that how employees feel about the organization will impact how resident customers feel about the organization as well and their likelihood to stick with that community.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, thank you. You asked how people can get in touch with us. I'm Kara, K-A-R-A, at Swiss Bunny. Joe is Joe, J-O-E, at Swiss Bunny. And, of course, our website is swissbunny.com, and you can find us on all the social channels as well.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, if you're not working with Swift Bunny, if you haven't been in touch with them, you need to be in touch with them because you're going to get some kind of insight that my father used to tell me, who was in the advertising business for over 50 years, it doesn't matter what you think people think, it only matters what they really think, and and you guys can tell companies what their employees really think, and that's something that's can give them a little bit of a competitive advantage, I believe.
Paul, I'll tell you, the one thing I think that's even more important than understanding what they think, is people do surveys all the time, and they get the results back, and they put the results in the drawer, and they really don't act on the results. And so our job is not just to do the surveys and tell people what's going on with your employees, but also give them the ability to analyze that, determine what's right, what's wrong, and give them ways to fix those problems. So that I think, is a people have done surveys for years, but that part of it is just the part of it that's always been missing. It's give you great results, but then they don't tell you what to do. They don't help you do it.
All right.
That's our job.
No, I appreciate it. And we've got to break it here, but I really thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for being on. And again, we'll have you back. We've had you on before. You always bring the receipts when you come on, and it's great information for our listeners. So we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.